you set the goggles up beforehand. We've got three dashboards. One is the swim dashboard, so you've got the timer at the top, and then you can rotate out the bottom metric. And so, for example, you can have pace per 100 for that interval always be at the bottom, or the total distance for your workout, whatever is to your liking, or the heart rate. That's what I have, because I always swim with my heart rate. So I have my swim dashboard set up with heart rate at the bottom and then the interval time at the top. Then when I turn, I get my turn metric. So I see what was the time for my last length. And when you finish, you have the rest dashboard. And that's where you have a bit of rotating, a carousel going on. So while you're resting, and this is automatic, the bottom, you have three metrics you can choose from. So you can just sort of have a summary of what you did during that interval. But as soon as you start your next interval, you know, these go away and you go back into the swim dashboard.
That was the CEO of Forum Swim Goggles, Dan Eisenhart. And this is his story on the Pacing Racing Podcast. All right, what's happening, everyone? Welcome back and welcome to the First Time Listeners. My name's Stephen Langenhausen and I am the host of the Pace Racing Podcast. Now, before we dive into today's episode with Dan Eisenhart, I just wanted to highlight a quick note to everyone who took the time to leave us a kind review on Apple Podcasts. Now, that meant the world to me and it truly, truly went a long way in helping me out with podcasts. As you know, to be quite frank with everyone, reviews dictate how well a podcast gets seen on iTunes. So, for each of you who took the time to take 20 seconds to leave us a quick 5-star written review like that, I truly appreciated all that. And if you haven't yet, and if you could take the time to do so, honestly, it means everything to me. And please reach out if you left one so I could personally thank you, because just that's how much it means in the podcast realm here. So I love getting to connect with listeners. So if you guys weren't lending me your ear, then I wouldn't be doing these interviews today. So I just want to say a quick thanks for all of that. Now, let's get into today's information where joining us is the CEO of Forum Swim Goggles, Dan Eisenhart. Now, Dan comes from both a competitive swimming background and an engineering background, so finding a solution to the wearable technology sector for swimming seemed quite fitting for him. Dan actually started making smart glasses for other sports first, including skiing and cycling, before diving into the realm of wearable swim technology. So as I dove into the research into this project, I was quite amazed at the complexity of these goggles and their capabilities. I mean, first off, they had to create a goggle that first wasn't too bulky, one that would fit all swimmers properly so that any swimmer of all levels would actually enjoy wearing them. And this includes the ability for a swimmer to interchange whether they want the digital display readings to be viewed from the left or right. So they really thought of everything to do with overall fit and feel for these goggles. They kept the goggles user-friendly with only two buttons and only two metrics displayed while swimming. Now, through the use of machine learning, they were able to keep the experience automatic and pretty much hands-free, as these goggles are able to determine your exact stroke you're using, along with metrics like split times, total distance, stroke rate, and calories. Now, they even took it a step further through a partnership with Polar, where they've created a clip where you can install the Polar OH1 optical heart rate sensor to the goggles to also capture your heart rate. So for a quick overview of the specs here, you can view the two metrics at a time through the goggles, and this is customizable using the Forum Swim app on Apple or Android devices, as well as automatically uploading workouts onto Training Peaks, Strava, Facebook, all by Bluetooth. Now this comes with 5 nose bridge sizes and adjustable silicone straps, and it also has a permanent chemical resistant anti-fog, and it comes with a ventilated carrying case. So overall, it's very well built and there's lots of options for size fitting. Now it has 16 hours of battery life in the pool, and it currently hosts 13 different metrics to view, including split time, interval time, rest time, your total time, stroke rate, stroke count, distance per stroke, pace per 100 meter, pace per 50 meter, distance, length count, calories burned, and heart rate. Now at the time of this podcast recording, it sells for about $200 US, with an additional option to buy the heart rate monitor from Polar for about an additional $80 US. So anyway, I think I left you with a ton of questions around these goggles now. Hopefully I can answer some of the specs before going into this, but let's have a chat with Dan to see if this goggle set is right for you to incorporate into your next swim session. Now, without further ado, guys, let's get into it. Now, before we dive into today's episode, I just want to quickly thank our sponsors for these episodes, which are Quintana Roo Tri and 51 Speed Shop. So if you're following me on social media right now, you would have seen me showcasing my beloved Quintana Roo PR5 tri bike that's recently been coupled with the 51 Speed Shop carbon aero bar extensions. So JP from Brown Sports has helped me immensely with putting this bike together to be the most aerodynamic and comfortable bike as possible. Now we've done some virtual wind tunnel testing, we've done some multiple extension type testing, and we've done just different component testing, and I'm thrilled with the overall outcome. With, of course, Challenge Roth on the horizon, I wanted to know that I wasn't in over my head first off, and ultimately I was well equipped for the challenge that faces me here on July 5th. Now I chose the PR5 because it has so many little neat perks that stood out, like the Shift Plus technology, which basically refers to the design of their down tubes. So the down tube deflects as much air as possible from the drivetrain side over to the non-drivetrain side, where the rear stay is designed to be actually quite larger. So this gives the air a smooth path to follow, rather than creating turbulence on the drivetrain side. So that helps with aerodynamics huge. And you know, another reason I love them is their custom aero storage container in the rear that you keep your spare tire kit in, and it has a built-in light for visibility. And another neat thing, it also yields a 30T carbon fiber frame set and also a 6-position seat post. And the bike's just overall design is so super user-friendly and fitter-friendly, comparable to some of the other bike manufacturers that I've seen out there. Now, when you couple a bike like this with 51 Speed Shop cups and aero bar extensions, then you really can't go wrong. And as you all probably know, if you're not staying in aero bars for the entire length of the bike course, then all those watt-saving changes you make on your bike, ultimately, they just become redundant, right? So the 51 Speed Shop cups offer a ton of different mounting options and angles so you can truly find your comfort. And they also have a few options of aero bar extensions. Now, I went with the Ultimate Carbon extensions with a 30-degree angle, which also have a 15mm offset at the tips so that you can actually allow your hands to be as close together as possible while still leaving that room for your hydration system and bike computer to be mounted in between the handlebars. Now, this has been a game changer for me, and I've truly felt the difference in comfort since having this overall setup. So I definitely recommend it firsthand. I'm a big, big fan of 51 Speed Shop bars and, of course, the Quintana Roo tri-bikes. So if you want some more insight on these brands, of course, search their names on social media, give them a follow, or JP at Brown Sports in Toronto actually sells and fits 51 Speed Shop products and Quintana Roo tri-bikes all the time. So I can 100% refer you to their shop with confidence, knowing they'll take care of you in setting you up for success by identifying, of course, which bike and which extensions will work best for you. Now, the beauty of this for all my international listeners out there who aren't in Toronto is you can check them out on brownsports.com. And just so you know, that's spelled B-R-O-W-N-S, sports, so two S's. And of course, my Instagram always has an open door DM policy, so definitely don't be afraid to reach out if you have any questions on 51 Speed Shop or Quintana Roo tri-bikes. Okay, now guys, let's get into the conversation. Enjoy the podcast. Dan, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
They're going well, thank you. I've recovered from my first Ironman in October, so I'm ready for another one this year.
Right, yeah. I was eager to ask how you did in your first Ironman. Like, how did you feel with it overall?
I felt good about it when it was over, and I could sort of sit back and analyze what actually happened. And I also enjoyed it at times, but it was a journey, obviously. And nothing goes quite as planned in Kona is one thing a triathlete friend of mine told me well before I actually embarked on this journey. And I completed, and so that's good. And I had, a really, really great experience that I wouldn't be without. But that bike ride definitely took me by surprise. When you're coming back from Hawaii, you're going downhill, and you're basically standing still because of the crosswinds. And you think, I've still got halfway to go. That kind of takes a bit of bit out of you. But that's why Kona is so special, right?
Well, so I find it amazing, not only that you did your first Ironman, but you also did it in a pretty technical course, right? Like Kona is definitely known to be quite a challenging course, to say the least. So good on you for that, because I think you exceeded what you wanted for a time goal, right?
Yeah, I did. I guess I had all kinds of time goals. As you know, when I went into it, I had one time goal. When I was just before Kona, I felt like I was in good shape. I had another one, and you can kind of do the math different ways, and then you don't really know until you get on the bike. I mean, after the swim, how you feel, and then you see how the wind is on that day. And then, you know, the biggest uncertainty or unknown is really the nutrition piece. And that was one piece I hadn't had experience with before because it was my first Ironman. I sort of tried to collect as much information as I could, but, you know, suddenly 3 hours into the bike, you realize you're not even absorbing any liquid. That becomes a problem. But a lot of people had that on that day. So for my next one, I'd definitely be planning more on the nutrition piece.
For sure. No, that's good. You can always look back at after your first race and always kind of critique and move forward and learn from any mistakes you made. But it, overall, it sounds like you had a fantastic time there. And, you know, I think a lot of people are probably curious to find out, did you use the Form Swim goggles?
I definitely used my Form Swim goggles, and I also used my Polar OH 100 monitor that we had announced but hadn't shipped yet or launched yet. So I could monitor my heart rate real time in the goggles, and I could see my time. It was just a phenomenal boost compared to not to swimming without anything. You know, just looking into the abyss there and not knowing even what, you know, how much time has passed. But now you can see time and heart rate. So that was actually amazing.
Exactly. No, that's actually really cool, man. And there's lots I want to talk to you about those goggles specifically, as well as the Polar heart rate attachment you guys have as well that you guys partnered with. But, you know, before we get into the specifics about the goggles and the technology, let's first chat about your background a little bit and how it led to essentially creating Form Swim goggles, because you were not only a competitive swimmer, but you also had a background in creating previous wearable technologies, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I started or co-founded a company back in 2008. It was called Recon Instruments. And back then we did basically what we're doing for Form now with swim goggles, we did for ski goggles. And so we put this technology into ski goggles, and we partnered with some of the biggest eyewear companies in the world, including, you know, Oakley and Smith and Scott and Uvix and all those brands. And then, you know, our technology was inside of those goggles, and we sort of gave you that experience on the mountain where you didn't have to take off your gloves and reach into your pocket to get your smartphone out. You could see, you know, your text messages and calls and your buddies on the mountain. You could see that in real time up there in your display in your goggles. And you could see how fast you were going. If you did a jump, you could see how much time you spent in the air. And we had a community as well that sort of collected all this data. So we have a lot of experience in sports, action sports markets, delivering a similar experience. So that was always good to have that domain experience, expertise coming into this challenge.
For sure. Yeah, no, definitely. And yeah, like you said, there's a ton of experience you guys have had and brought with you to this new company. And I mean, talking about swimming here in particular as a sport, I mean, I guess you saw a problem coming from, a previous swimming background. And you saw a problem in the wearables technology sector for the sport. I mean, eventually you create a solution for this, which I find is really fascinating. But can you explain why you think the Form Swim goggles are more practical, I guess, for swimmers and triathletes out there than what's currently on the market? Like, you know, I guess pretty much just the watches, right?
Yeah. No, it's funny because that other company, Recon Instruments, the original idea behind that was actually the swimming goggles. And we just couldn't pull it off at the time. So that came during an entrepreneurship program at Sauder School of Business in Vancouver, Canada. And we felt during the program that as we were writing the project that this was going to be too hard to pull off. So we ended up going to ski goggles and eventually did cycling glasses as well before we sold the company to Intel. But it was always coming back to this whole notion of, you know, a problem that has been existing in swimming forever. And, you know, as a competitive swimmer, a distance swimmer, which I was growing up, you know, not having access to any metrics. You could barely see the pool clock up on the deck. And if you were lucky to get your times from your coach, if you're on a swim team, you know, it was only sort of sporadic and all that data wasn't captured. So you couldn't see afterwards what your training load was or what your results were. So it's sort of swimming blind. When you're running or cycling, you have all this information right there on your wrist or on your handlebars. Yet swimming, you know, winning and losing is sort of determined by hundreds of a second. So there's a lot of paradoxes there, and I just couldn't quite find out why, you know, why is that? And so that was a question I asked myself and quickly realized that, you know, the value proposition was clear. It was kind of night and day. But there's also been like the swimming is one of the few sports that has been completely underserved in terms of technology. You know, I mean, a big innovation is kind of like, you know, paddles for swimming, you know, train your distance per stroke, for example, or a kickboard or a fin or fins or a snorkel or something like that. And sort of technology, high tech had really not entered the sport. And so that the reason we realized that it's a very difficult thing to bring these metrics to life in front of your eyes in a pair of swimming goggles. It's very, very difficult to do.
Exactly. No, so you know what? I mean, the whole concept at first, when I was thinking about the goggles, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it didn't seem nearly as complex as I thought it would be. But as I started researching these goggles, I really began to kind of see all the complexity unravel and all the detail that went into these, right? Like, I mean, first, can you walk us through, I guess, how your team used machine learning and algorithms to, you know, allow the goggles to detect different stroke movements and all sorts of things, right?
Yeah, I mean, because we're very different from wristwatches. I mean, it's still hard for wristwatches as well to get high accuracy for your swim analytics or your swim metrics. But imagine now you have a sensor sitting on your head that's supposed to be still most of the time, depending on what stroke you're doing. And then we set out saying, well, we want to be able to detect everything you're doing in the pool, basically set and forget, just set up the pool length, and then it needs to be able to detect when you're resting and when you're turning and what stroke you're swimming and, you know, your pace per 100 and your stroke rate and stroke count and all those things that we thought, I mean, they were just at table stakes. We had to solve that problem to be able to even come into the market and give swimmers some, you know, viable alternative to what they already had. So we realized, you know, writing lines of codes for each of these instances would be an impossible task, because it's just like there's so many corner cases, so many different ways of performing a stroke. And when you look taking data off the head, you know, it is very difficult. So we ended up going with, you know, machine learning and staffing a machine learning team. And the way we did it is that we actually video recorded a bunch of swimmers doing a bunch of different things in the pool, you know, from fitness swimmers all the way to Olympians. And then we categorized and labeled all these different movements and paired that with basically the sensor output that we had on the goggles. And then we fed that into our own machine learning algorithm and basically iterated on it for years until we got to an accuracy that's higher than 99%, which is better than any other wristwatch out there today. That's sort of the summary of what we did on the machine learning side.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely phenomenal to hear the complexity and everything that went into the machine learning and the outcome of what all that hard work, you know, produced. So I'm super pumped about that. Like, what was your reaction from consumers as well as the other brands when you hit the market with this technology? As, you know, I can see swimming's just one of those age-old sports where there hasn't been a whole lot of technological advancement like you'd find in most other sports, right? Like, were people receptive to the technology at first?
Yeah, what's funny is that when we pitched, everybody understood the problem. Just like, you know what? That would be amazing. Like, because it's such a black and white value prop. It's not like it's 10 times better than alternatives. And we were delivering this at basically a cheaper, you know, a price than if you got a high end pair of goggles and a wristwatch, you know, swim tracker, and you bought those separately. You would not get to $199. But what we quickly realized as well, just in the research for this project, was, you know, it was even more important to look at the swimming goggles themselves, because they serve such an important function for a swimmer, you know, keeping the water out, having a good fit, so you trust, you know, that a piece of equipment. So when you integrate technology into a wearable like that, you have to make sure that you actually make sure that that pair of goggles also is the best pair of goggles out there, while, you know, also serving this other function of giving you that information. And in that sense, you know, then durability comes up. If you are used to paying 30, 40 bucks for a pair of goggles and you replace them every 6-7 months, we need to make sure that we were building our goggles from the highest grade materials, and we'd give a warranty so that when customers buy our goggles, they can feel safe and confident. They don't need to go out and replace this every 6 months or a year. I mean, we have built them really to last. And so a lot of resources and effort also went into the mechanical and industrial design, and in manufacturing all the way to the end, making sure that our tolerances and our materials, I mean, we use high grade you know, silicon for the eye seals. We use an anti-fog and coatings that you don't see today in normal swimming goggles. So that was equally a big challenge for us to overcome and still keep the cost low, because we knew I didn't want to go above the $199 price point for the customer.
Right. And no, that's excellent. And actually, so let's talk about the goggles in a little bit more detail there, as you, and just to kind of expand off what you were just saying. So obviously there's an increased durability to these goggles. Now, do they feel like any other typical pair of goggles, and do they seem to fit the majority of users?
They do. And this was my biggest concern. I was lying awake at night, because I am very particular with my goggles, and I've been swimming since I was 5 years old. And I used a variety of goggles. I ended up using the very simplest goggles out there, which are the Swedish goggles from Malmsteen, and you can basically assemble yourself. And so I just got used to those. But in just researching for this, I started using basically all the goggles on the market from both top brands and also lesser known brands. And a lot of them actually didn't fit me very, very well. Like, I would say most of them, I felt, you know what? They were good, solving one problem, but then another problem they weren't so good at. So I couldn't really find that universal fit. And so we set out to kind of solve that problem and look at, well, what kind of eye shield would you need to both give you a good fit and not make them excessively large and could go sort of across different types of face shapes and also ages and genders. And so we did a lot of 3D printing. We bought a couple of 3D printers and just started iterating hundreds and hundreds of times on just what is the best fit here. And then we went to the pool and tested it initially just inside the team, but then eventually with all kinds of teams, triathlon teams and, swim teams, even, swim teams with a lot of Olympians on it that are, here in Vancouver with the Thunderbirds. So we got all that feedback. And then, voila, one day we found sort of the golden recipe for a goggle that we felt would actually fit most people really comfortably. And that's why we're giving that 45-day fit guarantee. And we have very few people, if you look at our reviews as well, whether on Amazon or on our own site, that are completely organic, whether like very, very few comments about poor fit, if any out there. So that kind of tells the story. It's not just me giving you my opinion. It's what most customers, whether fitness swimmers or triathletes or power elite swimmers on swim teams, they all say the same thing. They're really comfortable.
Exactly. No, that's actually really cool. And to hear that, I mean, fit is kind of everything for goggles. So I think that's really cool to see that it fits majority of users because, yeah, you can find all sorts of different styles of goggles out there. And, it depends on what fits you and what works for you. And I know one thing too, you mentioned the anti-fog that you guys use. Now, that's always kind of a thing for, I think, a lot of triathletes experience with open water swims where they have that instant fog up. Now, how you kind of found this with the anti-fog you guys use?
Yeah, a goggle company that tells you that they're completely immune to fogging, I mean, that's impossible because there's all kinds of conditions where you will have some level of fogging. The question is, what is the performance, compared to alternatives? And, normally when I buy goggles, they're really good for the first 2 weeks. I think most people would say this. And then you can kind of see the coating there wear off on the inside. You're kind of rubbing them. And then suddenly, it becomes all murky. And then it's just a downhill from there. So we knew we had to come up with a different type of coating that was more permanent and not something that was kind of like a film that was sitting on top of it. And that meant we had to go and experiment with a lot of things that are not currently in the eyewear business for goggles, like something we've borrowed from other industries. So we have a much, much, much higher performance. So you will not see these degrade just over a couple of weeks. Of course, over time, you will see that it will wear off a little bit, but it very quickly stabilizes. And so they are, much, much better than any other goggle I've ever tried. Even after I actually swim with the same pair of goggles that was that came off the assembly line before we even shipped. And that was August last year. I got mine, I think it was in March, almost a year ago. And I swim with the same goggles just to see how well they last. And I really beat them up. And I've been training a lot with them. And they are like, I have no reason to go and unbox a new goggle because they're perfectly fine. And you would not be able to see that they've been used. If I held them up to you, you would not be able to see that they've been used. So that kind of shows you, real life example that they work and they're durable.
Exactly. No, perfect. That's exactly what you'd want out of a good pair of goggles. So that's cool. I like that a lot. And let's talk about the numerical display that you see with FormSwim goggles. Can you kind of walk us through, how you guys decided to display the numerical data within the lens? Because you probably could have went with many different options, but you guys went with a nice clean look. And can you just kind of explain that for listeners who might not have seen what this is all about?
Yeah, because I guess we waited to the last for the hardest thing. I mean, of course, the see-through display, I think, was the hardest thing, and then just followed by machine learning, but being able to make a see-through display, at the price point that we had set for ourselves, that would just make those digits float in front of you in focus all the time and was durable, so that, you know, your goggles, of course, we have a nice carrying case that most of our customers put the goggles in the carrying case, but we wanted to make sure that, you know, if you drop them and all that, you know, on the tile in the swimming pool, you know, you wouldn't just sort of shatter this waveguide that we're using. So we designed a solution that, yeah, had a waveguide, and we built it into the lens, so you can't really, it's an integrated optical solution that from the outside you cannot tell that these goggles come with a see-through display. Like, it's not like, you know, the Google Glass there where you saw something sticking out in front of you. Like, this is built into the lens, and we have a mirror coating in front, so you can't see it. And it just sits there sandwiched inside the lens and gives you the data that you need. And we have, you know, 16-hour battery life as well. So it's not like you have to charge them every 2 hours. So we've managed to create a low-power solution and that sort of set and forget that is in focus for everybody. Even if you are using, you know, contact lenses or glasses in your everyday life, it doesn't matter. We've focused the display in infinity, so you don't have to change your focus to see the metrics.
Perfect. And one of the things I like to see about that design you guys went with is, you know, everyone's always kind of worried about, you know, sensory overload, especially while they're working hard in a race. But I don't see that being an issue with how you guys have it laid out. It's really nice. So there's two different metrics that you can visually see at once, right? However, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there's 12 different metrics or 13?
Yeah, 12.
12? And does that?
I guess 13 with the heart rate.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was thinking, right? So 12 or 13 with the heart rate. Now, can you kind of walk us through kind of what this all looks like in the goggles? So you have two different metrics that you can visually see, and then can you kind of scroll through them?
Yeah, no, so we wanted it to be set and forget. We don't want you to have to stop to press a button to do anything. So on the mobile app, you know, this is all done on the mobile app. We've got default screen, so you can choose a lap swim, which is just you going in the pool swimming for fun. And then there's a structured workout, which is an interval swim, where every time, you know, you start an interval, the timer will keep going until you start the next interval. And sort of that's how, you know, team practice typically works. But you set the goggles up beforehand. We've got three dashboards. One is the swim dashboard. You know, so you've got the timer at the top, and then you can rotate out the bottom metric. So for example, you could have pace per 100 for that interval always be at the bottom, or you could have your stroke rate for that interval, or the total distance for your workout, whatever is to your liking, or the heart rate. That's what I have, because I always swim with my heart rate. So I have my swim dashboard set up with heart rate at the bottom and then the interval time at the top. Then when I turn, I get my turn metric. So I see what was the time for my last length. And the time at the top keeps, you know, will freeze as well. So you'll see the last length. And if you're at the 150 meter mark, whatever, then the top timer will show you the 150 meter time. And when you finish, you have the rest dashboard. And that's where you have a bit of rotating, a carousel going on. So while you're resting, and this is automatic, the bottom, you have three metrics you can choose from. So you can just sort of have a summary of what you did during that interval. For example, you could have your average heart rate over that interval, or you can have your stroke count, or you can have your pace per 100. But as soon as you start your next interval, you know, these go away and you go back into the swim dashboard. So that's the experience that we have created. So the only time you would ever touch the goggles is, let's say, if you want to change lanes or go to the bathroom, you just press the back button and you pause. And as soon as you go back into the water, you just press it again and you go.
Right, because so you guys only have two buttons on there, correct? So it's nice and triathlete user-friendly.
Yes, it is so intuitive. I mean, my dad is 78 years old, and I deliberately sent him a pair without telling him anything. And I asked him about a week later, you know, how his experience was. And I thought he was going to ask me to kind of set them up the next time I was there. And he's in Denmark, so that would take a while. But he actually had his experience and had uploaded the swim and said the only problem he had was that now he could see how slow he had become. But it was also motivating for him. So I kind of laughed at that, because that is not normally what I see with my dad when he's trying out new stuff.
That's awesome. No, I like that story. That's good. So now I can imagine, obviously, this kind of data upload can be huge for athletes, not to only just reflect on their workouts afterwards on the app, right? But it's also great that they can share this with coaches, right? Like, this uploads to Training Peaks and Strava and things like that.
Yeah, that's the great thing about it. You know, we have Strava, Garmin, We have Google, Health and Apple Health and Training Peaks. You know, I live in Training Peaks, of course, so that's great. And we continue to add new services when we see this fit. So we're not trying to kind of trap the data or anything. We know there's an ecosystem here, and people use different platforms. So that's a key piece of our strategy. And so we're both a community, for the swimmers that like the way we represent the data in our feed, and then we also understand that there are other communities out there that are more maybe interesting for some swimmers.
Excellent. Now, if there are any triathlon coaches out there that might be listening to this right now, and if they're considering using this in their repertoire, do you have any examples or ideas of ways that you've heard other coaches in the past use this type of technology with either their athletes or their teams to sort of make this all work better with all the metrics?
Yeah, I mean, we actually have a lot of people, especially triathletes, that are, working, professionally, traveling, swimming in different locations, and they're still associated with a team where they have a coach. And the ability to actually have that, all those metrics automatically come back into the goggle and they're all accurate. And you can go into what we call table view on the mobile app, and the coach can then view all your metrics. You know, if you've accepted sort of the request from your coach, then that coach can see all your data and see how you've done and see what effort you put into it with your heart rate. And it's all broken into sets. So we don't just kind of show this dump of data. We actually look at, well, if you did 8x100 freestyle or 2x200, pull or whatever it is. Like, it doesn't say pull and it'll say freestyle. But like all these different types of sets that you'd have in a structured workout, that's how it's represented in table view. So your coach can see exactly what you did, how much you rested, between each of these intervals. And what your heart rate was, and then you can get recommendations. If the coach says, "Well, you need to focus on your distance per stroke because that just dropped too much on that 10x100 when you were supposed to go, perceived exertion of 8 out of 10 or whatever," then put that in your swim dashboard next time and just keep it at 1.2 meters per second or whatever it is. 1.2 meters per stroke. So there's a lot of stuff that you can do because you've got all that data and you've got somebody else that has access to it, and they can then action it because you have the detail after the fact. That makes it really special for teams.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's huge. I'm excited to just listen to that because that's a lot of great things you can do with your training. And again, touching on the age-old sport of swimming, just to have some new technological advancement that we can work with on the sport, I think that's amazing. Triathletes love their technology, as everyone is aware. So I think that's really cool. So now, talking about heart rate, you just mentioned that not too long ago, and let's touch on that a little bit now. So Form has had a partnership with Polar, and can you kind of walk us through what this Polar OH1 heart rate sensor kind of looks like and how it works with the goggle set?
Yeah, it's really simple as well. So Polar has developed this sensor called the OH1, and it can sit, I believe they have different straps, so you can, put it on your chest and around your forearm. And we have a little cradle where you can put it into, and then it sort of loops into our goggle strap and sits against your temples, either right or left side. And we want to put it, you'd want to put it on the same side that you're wearing the goggle HUD. So we can flip them over. So you can wear it for right eye or left eye, and you just make sure the sensor is on the same side. Connects via Bluetooth, and that's super smooth. It literally takes 10 seconds, and you just have to do that once. And then when you power it on in the future, it just automatically connects, gives you the heart rate. And you'll be able to see, even before you press go on your swim experience, you'll be able to test and see, it's capturing my heart rate in the right way before you set off, so you don't have to stop again. And, that's never been done before, right? I mean, you've never been able to see, let alone just like your activity metrics in your field of view, but seeing your live heart rate. I mean, I've been swimming my whole life, almost 40 years almost, and I have, I've never seen my heart rate in real time. Like, what other endurance sport, can say that they actually have not measured their heart rate? That would be unthinkable. So it is really an essential metric.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. So the clip for the sensor comes with all of your goggles, but to purchase the sensor itself, you get redirected to Polar's website to buy that, right?
Yeah, so to get the OH1 sensor, you buy it from Polar directly. I think they sell, of course, through distribution as well and through Amazon. So there's many places you can get this, and I believe it's $79. And then the pairing process is easy, and like you said, the cradle for the strap, the mount there is free and comes in all of our packaging. From that day, we launched it in December, and people who bought it before December, they can just email us, and then we'll send them a cradle for free.
Well, let's talk about the forecast of these goggles. Right now, it's currently set up for pool use, but do we see a future pair that works in open water?
Yeah, so we wanted to design the goggles for swimming pools because that's where most of us spend like 99% of our time training. Even if you're an open water swimmer, you know, maybe it's only 95%, but you know, in the swimming pool, that's where you spend most of your time. So we wanted to solve that experience first. And then we wanted to then look at the open water experience afterwards. But I used my goggles already just with the hybrid and the timer for the Kona swim. And I mean, you know, the buoys and you kind of know where you are on the course, especially the halfway mark. So I knew how fast I was going, just based on the stopwatch or the timer being in there. And then I could see the effort I was putting in because I had the live heart rate. So even that was just a night and day compared to what you have today. But we are looking at, triathlon is a very important sport for us because we're really seeing, you know, most triathletes are used to technology in their sport, and they see the value of technology and metrics and analyzing their data. So we don't even have to do much explaining, you know. Triathletes just get it, and that makes it really a really good sort of early adopter market for us. And so we're definitely focused on also solving the open water experience.
For sure, but as you mentioned, though, how you use that in Kona, there are a couple of metrics that could still apply to open water, right?
So right now we don't even have an open water swim mode in there. So you just set it up for like an unknown pool length and then you go. So that was kind of, we didn't want to do it half and say, okay, by the way, you can also use it for open water. That's kind of more of a little bit of a secret. So when we come out with an open water experience, we will have thought about all those things and there'll be an open water swim mode in there. So right now there's no other metrics that you can choose. You kind of have to trick the system a little bit. And funnily enough, triathletes did that. Again, they're so experiential. And they were actually the ones showing us that, okay, this is actually a pretty good experience even without adding extra features. But we still wanted to do more testing and get more feedback and do some homework on what do triathletes actually want, triathletes and open swimmers want. And that's what we're developing, I think it's no secret. We've said this a few times that we are focusing on solving that aspect of the swim experience for triathletes.
So, you know, as we near the end of the show here, let's sort of talk about some training advice when it comes to using the FormSwim goggles. So for someone who's listening in here, goes out, orders a set of goggles, the FormSwim ones, and can you walk us through what they should do when they first get them and what they might expect and just any advice on how they should incorporate it into their training?
Yeah. The best advice I can give is, you know, the first time you swim with them, just jump in the pool. Don't try and sort of suss them out or imagine how they work before you jump in the pool. I mean, of course, play with the app, but you really don't know until you're in the pool, like the power of this product. So just relax and get used to it. It probably took me a swim or two, even having swum my whole life. It took me a swim or two before I was just like, before it was second nature to me. Even though you can zone out, if you don't want to watch, you know, the metrics, you just kind of glance kind of through them and you don't even absorb them. And then when you need them, you can then take them in. So it wasn't so much that, but it was more such a wow moment that I just couldn't stop watching these metrics and I almost forgot to breathe. So that was kind of like, you have to kind of get over that initial, overwhelming feeling of suddenly having those metrics. And then you go back in the app and then you start thinking about how you can actually use these goggles to improve your training. And the single most important feature is just the fact that you now know what you're doing. And now you can see in each turn, you can see what you did on the last length and you can go, you know what? I just went, 2 seconds slower on this last length, which was the third 50 of a 200 meter interval. And why, I wonder why that is the case. So then maybe next time, or maybe you stop and you put in a different, you know, metric. Maybe you want to put in your stroke rate. Just see, well, maybe my stroke rate went down, or maybe my distance per stroke went down and my stroke rate went up, but not enough to compensate. So you can kind of figure out what is it actually that's causing you to slow down. And then with your heart rate, now you also know the effort that you're putting in, which is actually as important as all the fundamental activity metrics, especially if you're doing an Ironman. Then it really matters whether you were doing what you were doing in zone four or in zone two. Like that matters a lot. So you can kind of look at it in two ways. One is sort of, you know, the motivational aspect and the stroke and technique aspects of knowing these metrics in real time, and you can sort of play around with different metrics. And then the other part is your effort of what you're putting into it. And both those things combine, I think, to something that has never been in swimming before, but that you have in especially cycling, but also in running. And that's how you plan your entire training load and how you adjust your load as you find out, you know, how you're performing in training. And this notion of your intent versus actual, that feedback loop is very critical, not just for after the fact, but even more so when you are doing the activity. So you can course correct and know why you're swimming faster or slower. So that's a whole new world.
Exactly. No, so that's really cool. And actually, as you mentioned, heart rate there. Now, with the heart rate, typically, as I've always known, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but the heart rate tends to be lower in the water. So does that kind of change your, do you kind of have to get comfortable and like find your own parameters of heart rate zones? Or how does that work with the new water technology?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And there's some science about this. And I think the number is like something like 7% lower when you're horizontal and you've got the water, the pressure there of the water. So yeah, you're probably working less than what you should. Like most people are not working hard enough. And you can absorb a lot more in the pool than you could, you know, on the bike or running. So there's a way to kind of get some efficiencies there. And yeah, for sure. I mean, I was actually often like I thought I was in one zone, and I was actually in a swimming in a lower zone, and I needed to go a little bit faster. And you also see the impact. And this was something for myself. I mean, seeing the impact of using my legs for the kick a lot versus not using my legs a lot. And as a competitive swimmer, I used to do racing, so I would use my legs a lot. And I just realized as you start running and cycling, you know, you get bigger legs, and they just take up so much oxygen. And the difference for me, you know, just like applying a different kick pattern or kick technique in terms of my effort, how much I put into it, and how high my heart rate was huge. I had like 15 beats different per minute just by adjusting my kicking. And then so I went to more pull sessions with a pull boy and paddles and just really try to build that strong pull so I could compensate for not having as hard a kick. And I definitely am saving energy doing that because the upper body doesn't matter. Like when you're on your bike and when you're running in the Ironman, it doesn't matter how your arms are feeling, right? So you just want to use all the energy and resource you have there in your upper body in the swim and just spare your legs.
Perfect. Excellent. No, that's really good information and tons of awesome advice here today. Now, is there anything else that you'd want to sort of mention that we haven't already touched base on in today's chat at all?
I think we've covered actually most of the stuff that I think is important for triathletes. And, you know, often I hear triathletes ask, well, if you could only connect to Training Peaks. And I always say, well, we already do. So we need to make an effort of showing that better in the app. So when you're on board, you can see that immediately, because that was a hard requirement. So I think I'm glad you got that in early on. And, you know, the heart rate connectivity. And then the rest is really some up to the individual triathlete trying these out the first times, and it just is very fast learning curve.
Perfect. Yeah. And you know, it's the ongoing myth that if it's not on Training Peaks and it never actually happens. So I can see, so it's good to see that they're connected and compatible. So that's great. Awesome. Thanks so much, Dan. I think that's an excellent spot to sort of wrap things up here. And so for those who want to learn more about the Form Swim goggles and want to get their hands on one of these, then where can they go?
So they can go on our website, www.foamswim.com, or on Amazon. And we're actually on Amazon in most of the world. So whether it's Amazon.com or CA or UK or Australia, you know, we are in most geographies now and on Amazon as well.
Excellent. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting today. And we can't thank you enough for making a user-friendly product like this that brings great value to swimmers and triathletes, of course, of all skill levels. So thanks so much, man, and all the best.
Great. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, Stephen.
Perfect. Take care.
Too.
Awesome. Well, that was a wrap with Dan Eisenhardt. Now, thanks so much for listening, everyone. And if you enjoyed this episode, among others, then please just take that 1 minute to open up your Apple Podcast app on your iPhone, search Pacing Racing, and click podcast. Be sure to click subscribe, scroll down to the bottom, and just leave us a quick written review. It takes less than a minute to do, but as I said in the beginning, it goes a long, long way in helping me out. So to all who do that, thanks so much. That's highly appreciated. And other than that, that is a wrap. So happy training. And of course, as always, if you want to train with me on Zwift, then feel free to drop me a follow by searching Stephen Langenhausen. Anyway, take care, guys. Chat soon. Cheers.